Good day. I'm Jackie Judd, joined by Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News. And this is Health on the Hill, a conversation about activities on Capitol Hill regarding healthcare policy and legislation. Good day. Welcome back, Mary Agnes.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Kathleen Sebelius, who was just recently confirmed as Secretary of Health and Human Services, will be making her first appearance as Secretary before House Ways and Means Committee. What do you expect the key topics to be on healthcare reform?
I think they'll talk a lot about expanding coverage, how to lower healthcare costs. Since it's the Ways and Means Committee, you might get some discussion about financing, some back and forth between the Democrats and Republicans. But of course, here we are early in May. We're looking at the summer where you have both the House and Senate committees of jurisdiction saying they want to pass a bill by the August recess. So I expect we'll get a lot of discussion on the key points of healthcare reform.
And what do you expect the questions to be about regarding the financing, particularly the public option that we keep hearing so much about?
There'll be a lot of talk, for example, about looking at how much Medicare costs the government now. And if we expand Medicare or Medicaid, or you created a new public option for coverage, what would that do to the Treasury? What would that do to revenues? There may be some discussion about changing the way health benefits are currently treated tax-wise. They're not currently taxed to the employee. Ways and Means members may want to talk about what that would be like, how much revenue it could bring in. There will be people who will say this could hurt the employer-sponsored health insurance system, where most of us get our health insurance through our jobs. So I expect all those areas would be addressed.
Okay. And then on the Senate side, Senator Baucus is going to have another one of his roundtables. What kind of opinions will be expressed, heard there?
Well, they're going to be talking. This is their second roundtable, and they're going to talk about ways to expand health care coverage. So you could hear all sorts of things about the National Health Insurance Exchange, which could be basically a menu of plans that people could buy coverage from. I think we'll have a lot of discussion about a public plan option. What is a public plan option, and how would you address it? How would you put it into place? And there'll be discussions about whether there should be mandates on individuals to purchase coverage and on employers to provide it. So I expect you'll have that sort of discussion. You've got people from the business community, the insurance company, are going to be part of this roundtable discussion.
Are there going to be more roundtables? And if so, what other kinds of interests will be heard from?
They'll be talking about financing for the third roundtable. So I think at that, well, you could have some discussion that could be very similar to what we expect at House Ways and Means, talking about the tax treatment of health insurance benefits, for example. Do you change the tax treatment of income for higher income individuals? That's also been discussed. So they'll be looking at how to finance the goals, which everyone agrees on, which are providing coverage to more people and trying to control healthcare costs at the same time. It's a very difficult mix to make.
Absolutely. As you know better than most, Congress is sometimes accused of being able to really pay attention to only one issue at a time. And so I'm wondering if the discussion about the swine flu epidemic will in any way distract Congress from the larger issues of healthcare reform.
I think it depends on the severity of the outbreak. For now, we've had a flurry of hearings. We've had a request for more appropriations, for more money to help in the fight against swine flu. Members of Congress have talked to all the heads of the different agencies that monitor it, and I think they'll keep their eye on it if things got out of hand quickly. And there's no sign that that's happening. If we had a wider outbreak, more closings of schools, more closings of businesses, more of it affecting the general public, then you might have a major distraction on your hands. But for now, it seems that they can double track this pretty easily.
Okay. Final question having to do with Arlen Specter. When we last talked, he was a Republican, which was last Monday. And now he made that startling announcement that he's going to become a Democrat. Does that change in any significant way the balance in the Senate side when it comes to the votes on health care reform?
It certainly could. Of course, by the raw numbers, Democrats are 50. There were 58. Arlen Specter would bring them to 59 if Al Franken is seated as the Democratic senator from Minnesota. That's right. That'll get them to 60, which is the supermajority that you need to avoid a filibuster. However, Arlen Specter has made it very clear that he has his own independent mind, and even though while he votes with Democrats sometimes, he doesn't always vote for them. A good example that just happened was the most recent budget resolution for the year 2010, Arlen Specter did not vote with the Democrats. He's made himself made it very clear he intends to vote as he sees fit. So I don't think he's a guaranteed vote all the time for the Democrats.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News. I'm Jackie Judd.